So I want to talk to you today about this this last little bit, how the author in Ecclesiastes closes this out. And one of the things that that I've been feeling heavy on my heart over the past year or so is there seems to be a general feeling that's heavy in the air, and that feeling of anxiety seems to be persistent and growing. Would you agree with me? Would anybody agree with me? And so there was. I saw this study in University of Southern California. They started in 1985 doing this study, and every year, as new students would come in, they would ask them, "Do you feel anxious about all the things you have to do to complete?" What percentage of students in 1985 do you think said, "Yes, I feel anxious about"? 50? We're talking 1985. This is Back to the Future came out. Ronald Reagan was president. Chicago Bears won the Super Bowl. Dub Bears. Dub Bears. So 18%, 18% of the students. Okay, so they would come in and they would ask all the students. This is one of those long term studies that University of Southern California had been studying, and so in 2016, 41%, 41%. And I'm wondering, why so anxious? What's causing this? What's the... Everybody's got an answer. We got to blame it on something, right? It's never my fault. I never do anything to cause myself anxiousness, right? It's always got to be somebody else's fault. I didn't run into that light pole. That somebody who put that light pole there in the parking lot, it's their fault for putting that light there. I ran into a light pole once. In a parking lot. And I could have blamed it on the rain, the children in the back, the whatever. I called my friend up. I said, "Jim Laddie, I've got a little dent in my fender." It didn't hit it that hard. Nothing more than my fender, and my pride got hurt. I called him up. I said, "Hey, I ran into a pole." He says, "Brian, those don't move." Yeah, thanks, Jim. Sometimes we have trouble recognizing the source, but let's talk about this. In Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, he says, how many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. Does that sound good? However long you live, whatever it is, whether it's short or long, every one of them, live it, enjoy it. You weren't put here to live in anxiety, were you? Do you think God created you to be anxious about everything? I think that's what the scripture says. Be anxious about everything and worry about all things. No, it doesn't say that. It says don't be anxious about anything, right? In fact, our author also says this. So then, banish anxiety. This is serious talk here, right? Banishment. We don't use these words very much nowadays, do we? Because everybody's welcome, right? Come on in, everybody's welcome. We don't banish anybody, do we? It says, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. Well, since he said it, we might as well, sounds good, right? Easier said than done sometimes, right? Now, listen, I want to be clear. Let me take a step to the side and be clear with you. I don't think what the author is talking about here is a anxiety disorder. Okay, because there are some real psychological and different things that go on in the body that need to be addressed with counselors or with medication or things like that. I don't think that's what this author is talking about. But he's talking about generally being worked up about every little thing in your life, about life in general. And what he wants you to do is to enjoy life, because God created you to enjoy the blessings that he has placed here for you. And then he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So let's pause a minute here and let's talk about the Creator. God, the Creator of the universe, who created this planet with all of its beauty and wonder, and then created you just so you could worry about it all. Right? What? No? Why are you so worried, I wonder? Why do you get so anxious about everything? Why? I love the why question. That's why I did it 3 times in a row. Why? Because I just like to be anxious. Makes me feel good inside, right? No, it doesn't. In fact, people who are often anxious or live a life in anxiety, they have physical problems. It affects your body, right? You don't even need Dr. N to stand up and tell you all the problems that are caused by anxiety, do you? Do you? You know them personally because you've been anxious, right? And then you add coffee on top of that, and then it's just even better, right? Your Creator, God Almighty, puts you here on this earth to live in community with Him, to live enjoyment of this life that He's created. Hey, go fishing if you like that sort of thing. I'm not a big fisherman, but I have been fishing. It's a little boring until you catch that fish, right? And it's on the hook and there's that whole struggle and, right? Or some people like to run. I don't know why. I have a car that gets me there quicker with less energy. But some people really enjoy running. And I'm okay with that. Go run. Go do that marathon or whatever it is, the mud run or the bubble run or the what, you know, there you have to put a scheme on all the run marathons now. The color run. I think my Brittany went to one and she came back just rainbow colored. Or was it, she did a mud run too, didn't she? Came back covered in mud. Had to unclog the drain. No. But God created you to enjoy this life, not to be always anxious and worried and nervous about the next thing. And sometimes it's easier said than done. I get it. I was really anxious Friday. We had game night here. Oh, yeah. See, you guys have forgot, didn't you? It was fun. We had a great time. I had to meet a countertop guy, and he was late. He does not have a good clock. And he was late, and he was making me late, which made me anxious because I knew you would be standing outside the door waiting for me to let you in to have game night so you can enjoy this. And sure enough, I get a phone call. Pastor, we're here and you're not. We want to play games. Let us in. Right? And I was getting anxious because I didn't want to let you guys down. I'm not usually late. I try really hard not to be late. I hate being late. Because there's so much enjoyment to have when you get there, isn't there? But I want to talk to you about, there's four things I think that we could look at that the Creator has created for us that are meant to be joyful things for us. And the first thing I want to mention is experiences. You are meant to experience this creation. Do you notice anybody up there? That's Lance and Penny next to the dinosaur, and Glenn behind the Jeep. They are going to go zip lining in Jurassic Park. I mentioned I didn't see Diane anywhere in any of those pictures. I'm not sure. Where were you, Diane?
She's down
on the porch. This is Pastor Paul invited their friends when they were up in the Northwest, and Milton, Vicky, and Diane, and Pastor Paul and Kathy are there it's Newport, right? Depot Bay. Beautiful there. That family at the top there, I don't know if you know those guys, but we had just been spelunking in a old gold mine in Silverton, Colorado. And we came out, and we thought the most beautiful part of that picture was us, so you can kind of see the background. But that's one of my favorite pictures, actually. When the district asked me to send a picture of my family to them, that's the one I sent to them. Because we're on an adventure. I love adventures. I think that's the best ever. And I love them when they're spur of the moment. Hey, let's just go. And then somebody goes, we might need a hotel room, so you might want to call ahead. Yeah. But I love experiencing this world. I love hiking. I really do love hiking. And matter of fact, my brother and I and the family dog got lost in the mountains of Colorado once. We weren't really lost. Don't tell Mom. But the schedule but the schedule was put off an extra hour because Doug and I were in the mountains of Colorado hiking around with the dog, thinking maybe we should jump off the top of this waterfall into that pond below. We didn't. But we had a great time. When I was a kid, we lived in Ohio for a short while, and off the back of our house was a golf course. And I was always yelled at, hey, get out of the way so they could hit the ball. Right? Because we were always on that cart path riding on our bikes. And there is water in the rivers in Ohio. And not only that, but there's fish. And there was this one little pond by our place, and you could take a string and a clothespin and drop it in the water and pull it out and get a fish, just like that. They would just like that. Amazing. Beautiful. And I got to go with my son up to see Dave and Sue, and they took us over to the Niagara Falls, and we went behind the water in the cave. It's cold and wet, but amazing. And one time when I was young, my father took us on that boat, the Maid of the Mist, that goes in and goes around in that little horseshoe deal of the waterfall there. And, you know, it's a tugboat, and so you get this little tug, 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 tug. And the closer you get, you hear that motor just start tug, 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 tug. And then when you get really close to it and the water's just roaring all around you, and that tugboat is giving all it's got to just get in there, and it's just pop, 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 pop. And then when it turns it right off because the water just pushes the boat right back out there. Amazing. Enjoy. You're meant to experience life. You're meant to enjoy this grand adventure. If you look northward from here, our mountains are covered in the snow. Yesterday was crystal clear, and Ann had gotten some tickets to the very first spring training baseball game there, and so we experienced the baseball. But where we were sitting around by first base, you could look northward and see the clear mountains up there with all the snow on it. It was gorgeous, gorgeous. And it was funny because we were sitting in a spot and we were getting a little sun, and I had to get suntan lotion on because I burn. But the people that were in the shade, when they figured out there were open seats in the sun, you'd see everybody start to move over to the sun seats. And then the shade would come a little more, and people would get up and move over to the sun. because it was cool in the shade, but just beautiful in the sunlight. And people were together enjoying the experience of God's creation. You're meant to enjoy the creation of God. Look around. Lift up your eyes and see what's going on around you. Believe it or not, you're actually meant to enjoy work. Some of you go to work and you just hate, I hate my job, I hate working. I mean, let me challenge you to figure out a way to enjoy it. Figure out a way to look forward to going to work where you have co-workers that you can talk with and be productive in a job that is doing something. Sometimes if you're a school teacher, you know, and all those different people of junior high age drive you crazy, but you learn to like the little quirks of their viewpoints in life, and you learn to laugh at them with the crazy things they say, right? I love being your pastor. I really do enjoy this. I love seeing some of you open your eyes to Scripture and just having your horizon expanded by what God's doing in your life. I love sitting with you and crying with you sometimes, which means our hearts are connected. And when you feel pain, I feel pain. I love laughing with you when something good happens. I love celebrating when you get a raise at work or get promoted to a new thing. I love celebrating with you. Or even just hanging out over a cup of coffee. I love this job. I also love my other job. I love building things. I love the look on people's face when I improve their home and they enjoy a new bathroom or a new kitchen or new paint on the wall. Or whatever it is, build you a patio or an extra room or whatever it is. I love watching the enjoyment on your face when you get that one thing you thought you needed to just make your house that much better. My favorite is when people love to improve their house so that they can share it with their friends and family. And the first thing they do after they get it is they have everybody over. Come on over. We're going to have fun time together, right? I love working. Let me encourage you, find a way to love work. Because it gives you purpose and meaning in life. And God intends for you to have purpose and meaning. And to work hard, because there's nothing better than the end result of hard work, right? I have sometimes just been given things, and that's good and fun, but sometimes it's better when you work really hard for something and see the end result. Sometimes that's even better, right? We're meant to have authority. God placed us here and gave us authority over this planet to take care of it. And I think that we should take that authority more seriously. Nothing bothers me more than to see somebody throw trash on the ground. I got a little full of myself the other day. It was a while ago, but I was driving along, I think it was Greenway, and I saw some kid throw his water bottle on the ground, and I don't know what came over me. I actually stopped the car and yelled at him. I said, "Go pick up that bottle. Don't put trash in my city." And the look on his face was like, oh, he did. He turned around and it's all the way back there, he says. I said, well, walk all the way back there and get it. And he did. I was glad he did. But I can't believe I did that. I don't know what came over me, but it wasn't one of mine, no. I don't know who he was, and I don't think I've seen him since, but... But if you notice the pictures here, some of these are better ways of creating energy and helping society out that are more helpful to our earth than coal or different things that pollute. And I think that's good and right, you know. God put us here. He created us and put us in a garden to enjoy it. And we're here to manage the garden. Actually, the Creator created us to be managers of the creation, right? When God said, Adam, I got a job for you. He gave him work. He put him in the creation. He gave him work. And the work was to manage what he put in the creation. Gave him authority over the creation. Are you following me so far? You seeing the pattern here? And then he also wants us to be in connection with one another. We're actually meant to be connected one with another. That's why we have game nights so every once in a while. We had Super Bowl party just to be together and connect together. Nothing, I'd like nothing more than to sit around a table and eat together with and tell stories and, you know, what happened to me this week and to connect on an individual level. We're meant to do that. And there's a picture down here of a mud run. I saw a picture of my one of my friends. She happens to share a birthday with me. But she, for the first time, went to a mud run, and she was covered. But from head to toe, muddy as could be, there was something where she went under a wall, and when you go under the wall, you just get covered in the mud. But when she came up, she had the biggest smile on her face, and she was also there with several of her friends doing it together, having a great time. Something about doing stuff together being connected. We're meant to be connected one with another. And it's good and right. And I think that the problem occurs when all these things that God intended us for and we begin to get anxious for is because we begin to worship not the Creator, but the creation. And we begin to put some of these things that God created us for us to enjoy ahead of Him. Are you following me so far? And so when you enter into a relationship and you're looking for meaning in the relationship instead of meaning from God, it gets skewed and you begin to get anxious about that relationship and anxious about how you do that relationship. Are you following me? Or when you go to work and you find your only meaning and purpose in work and things don't go exactly the way you plan it, then you begin to get anxious and nervous about it. And am I going to keep this job? And how am I going to pay for it? And all that stuff goes. And when you put work in front of the Creator, you begin to get anxious. Are you following me? And so, remember, God created you to worship Him first. And then He gave all these things as a blessing to be in right relationship with Him. And it's when we get out of right relationship with Him and begin to put other things in front of Him, that's when anxiety comes in. Are you with me? All right. He says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Do you see what he's saying there? Make sure you remember your Creator. And do it now. Don't wait. Some of you might think, you know, I've laid this out, and you're thinking, okay, all right. When I get back from doing this, that, or the other, I'll get on it. I'll start thinking. Don't wait. The author says, don't wait for that. Start now. Get in right relationship with God. Make sure you put Him first. And allow those blessings to be actual blessings that give you joy and peace and goodness in your life. Are you with me? Are you tracking? He says, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. And actually, in this passage, at the end of Ecclesiastes, we begin to get the sense that the author is in his last days. we begin to get this sense that all of his life, and he's reflecting on this whole existence that he's had, and he's trying to give, if I'm going to give any last words before I go, I want you to catch on what's going on here. And that's the sense that we get here. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, before your eyes begin to dim, before your heart quits pounding as fast as it used to, before that last breath that you breathe, remember your Creator. Don't wait. And don't wait till it comes down to the end. Remember it in your youth, right? And this is the last words he says. It says, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. And if you remember, this was the very first thing he said when we started. So the whole book of Ecclesiastes is meant to shock you and to grab your attention and to get you all worked up so you pay attention to what the teacher's saying. And he starts off with meaningless and he closes with me. All of it's meaningless unless you do it with God. And in fact, these are the last words, and the whole book of Ecclesiastes shifts from here out. And it's not, the voice shifts from the author to the one who is summing it up, who's writing the closing remarks, who probably was the one that the author was speaking to and having him write down and put things into the book form. And he says, he's gone. So I'll sum up the last words for you. And he says this, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Do you know what a goad is? It's a farming tool for livestock. If you ever herd sheep, which I'm sure many of you have, right? But sheep aren't very bright. And sometimes you can gently guide them along the way. And sometimes they need a little poke, a little goad. And a goad is a rod with a little point hook on the end. Often the shepherd's rod, which was almost as tall as them, they would have a hook on the a shepherd's hook on the top end, but on the bottom end where it stood, there'd be this little barb. And sometimes a sheep just needs a little ouch. And many times, the metaphor for sheep is actually meant for us, right? And so sometimes we get a little ouch intended for us to steer us back on the path. But who does the author say all this is given by? The one shepherd. And all throughout Scripture, the one shepherd is often referred to as God himself, who is the great shepherd who leads us and guides us and sometimes goads us. And sometimes those things that goad us or our sharp memories or whatever it is are embedded at nails or they hurt just enough to remind us that we don't want to go that way again. And they're embedded as that's firm, that's solid in my life. I remember that. And sometimes you need solid remembrances, solid things in your life to keep you heading in the right direction. And the author closes with, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Now fear in Scripture is not I'm scared. Not like you're going into a haunted house or something. Fear Factory or whatever, you know, whatever that is. I never liked those. I don't watch scary movies. Don't like them because I don't like to be scared. Sometimes when I see scary movies, I have to watch a cartoon or something. I don't like scary movies. I don't want to be scared. Don't startle me. I don't want that. That's not what this fear means. Usually a fear in Scripture means respect. Respect God and keep His commandments. You know, we used to have a better understanding of respect. And we would, you know, if you walked into somebody's house and there'd be a Bible on the coffee table under about a half inch of dust, because you usually don't read it. But you wouldn't put anything on that Bible, right? Do you remember that? Certainly not. You would go straight to H-E double hockey stick if you did that, right? Shame, shame. Everybody knows your name, right? You remember? And when I was growing up, you didn't go to church in, like, this shirt would not be acceptable back when I was a young man. My grandfather, Shaw, was a pastor also, and he would not be caught dead in the pulpit with dirty cloth. Do you know what that meant? Color. No color at all. Black suit, white shirt, black skinny bean tie. That's all you wore in the pulpit. That's all you're allowed because, you know, it was a respect issue. And, of course, we've come along in our understanding of what God expects from us. More than just our clothing. But I wouldn't want to be caught in the church with a dirty heart. I hope that when I come in here, my heart is focused on the Lord. And my heart is turned towards Him. And when I talk about church, I don't mean this building with these walls. Because church is more than just a building. Church is the people of God, right? And so when I meet with you or I connect with you, I want my heart to be connected with God so that God can connect us together. I think that's church. And I think that can be enjoyable and a true blessing of connection. Amen? For now, this last part, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And I got to tell you, sometimes I look out in our world and I see things that are not right. I see children suffering. Children shouldn't suffer. Ever. Children need to grow up laughing and having fun. Running and playing, being loved, and being able to love, and maybe even a puppy. Or a cat, I guess. Or when people are abused, misused, mistreated, put down, pushed down, talked down to, that breaks my heart. And I look out and I think, where has God's creation gone? How has it gotten to this point? Why is there human trafficking and drug addiction and all this other stuff? But listen, fear not. God is watching. God is paying attention. And actually, you don't have to be the judge of all those things, for God will. God will make right all things. And that in itself can give you a sense of peace, knowing that God is in control. And ultimately, He will make right those wrongs. That doesn't give me an out, though, by the way. That doesn't give us an out. We're to be in partnership with God in this world. And if you look at his commands talk to us about this is the way we should live in his world. So we should be the effective hands and feet of God in our world today. Amen? But the other part of that is kind of, I know I have fallen short sometimes. I know I have not been all that I should be from time to time. And I do kind of fear that judgment a little bit. Am I alone? Except the good news is that this was written before Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he says, I know you haven't done as best you can. In fact, I know that you have suffered through some sins in your life. But I'm here to tell you that I am here to stand in place for you, to pay for those sins that you have done. If you will give your life over to me, if you will believe in me and follow my ways, I'll pay for those sins for you. And I'll stand in front of you so that when God looks at you, he looks through me to see you. But wait, I don't deserve it. He goes, I know. This is why we're who we are today. We are Christians in this world because Christ came for you and I. Because Christ came and he paid the price, death on a cross, which we deserved, but he paid for. And he says, now I want you to live. Live this life because I have paid the price for living it wrong. Now live it right. I think I can begin to enjoy those blessings now. And as the author of Ecclesiastes wants us to do, he says, all of life is meaningless unless you do it with God. Unless you follow Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And him only shall you serve. Don't serve the things that I've given to you as blessings, but serve me and then enjoy the blessings within the boundaries with which I've given him. Amen? As we close out Ecclesiastes, I think this has been an absolutely beautiful passage. I've looked at Ecclesiastes different than I've ever looked before. And I've truly enjoyed it, despite the warning signs at the beginning. Amen? So I don't want to live an undesired life, but a life in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, today, we as a community of believers who believe in you as our Lord and Savior who has given his Son for our life, I pray that we would recognize that and see you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength and begin to serve you and enjoy life in you and love you. May this life be full and full of your presence in my life. And that is not meaningless, but full of purpose and blessing. I pray these things in your name. And we, as God's people, said together, amen.